There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad you're along. Remember, get in touch with the show. Pretty darn easy. Good old-fashioned telephone call at 343-0106. Of course, the number works for the Ascension Technologies text line, and we'll get to some of your texts in a little bit, all at 343-0106. And if you have that FM Talk 106.5 app on your phone, which I wish you'd check out, it's pretty handy. One of the features, many features on there, is that talkback feature, microphone icon on the front page. If you'll press that, you can record a message, sends it to us here at the station. We can play it back on there. So check that out. Before I get started with my friend, my fill-in from Friday, who I appreciate, a man of written word and radio and just all around bon vivant, Michael Yaffe, I want to say this. I'm looking at one of the monitors here in the studio. So I guess he now has comment as President Biden is addressing the fires on Maui out there. I said this a little bit yesterday, and I would love, if you can be an honest arbiter, you could be President Biden's biggest fan. But when they stopped him at Rehoboth Beach on Sunday and said, hey, any reaction to the fires there, for him to say no comment doesn't mean that he had to know every stat. He did, okay? How big of a stretch would it be for the sitting president of the United States to say, what a horrible tragedy happening to American people? You know, we're going to, you know, and then we're going to bring every federal resource possible to help the people of Hawaii recover, for the people of Maui, you know, to recover from this. That's it. No comment? Actually, let me go straight to our man, Michael Yaffe, to get his comment on no comment. Hey, Michael. Would you have a comment for the no comment? Have we lost him? Okay. I don't know how we've lost him here. We'll work on that. We'll try it again. All right, we'll try it again. See if... now, what's happening out there? Okay. All right, so let's see. If Michael, are you with us now?
Yes, I am.
All right, very good. No, I was just saying, so, you know, before we get started on all the other things we have to talk about, I was looking at the monitor in here and President Biden speaking about what happened in Maui and federal response and all that. But Sunday he gets stopped and asked about this, and he has no comment. He doesn't have to have every stat, everything in front of him, but is it beyond the pale for the president of the United States to say something to the effect of what a horrible tragedy affecting Americans out there, and I'm going to do everything I can to bring federal resources to help them? I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could give him the benefit of the doubt and say he kind of didn't hear or didn't really know what was going on at the time, but that's part of the problem you have with Biden in certain situations is he doesn't know what's going on. The game you got to play, though, because they would play the same thing, is what if Trump said that? What if George W. Bush had said that during Katrina? The media would be covering it nonstop 24/7. So now that Biden does something like this, you know, doesn't get too much coverage.
Yeah, it's not like he would have to roll out and say, okay, well, here's exactly what happened, this, that. I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking for the... Hey, what a horrible tragedy affecting Americans. We're going to do everything we can to help them as fellow Americans. Boom. I mean, there you go. I mean, boom.
Yeah, it's not that difficult. I don't get it. Okay. I don't get it.
Okay, just went up because now he's reacting. So, all right. So, Georgia on your mind. Now, By the way, I totaled up, I think, with the indictments yesterday in Georgia, 91 total indictments in four different venues, 91, y'all, that are leveled against the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. At a certain point in a numbers game, my man, how do you thread that needle? Something's got to end up, whether it's right or wrong, something ends up sticking.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the play here, right? That's kind of the game, that they can just throw as much at him as possible. Something will stick, and they'll either end up in jail or at least not end up in the White House. But, man, we are setting some dangerous precedents. We really are. We're getting to a point, because Republicans are going to do this now. Why wouldn't they?
Right.
You're telling me if Democrats not leading next time and there aren't all these things going on, that they just don't throw a bunch of charges, just find some district attorney somewhere that will do that? So this is the new normal? It's not really a good new normal, I think.
No, it's not even close to a good new normal. And this is true, because there will be people cheering for the other side, you know, for conservatives to do this as well. And we end up, once again, not addressing the problems of the nation as a whole, but partisan fighting to the nth degree. If we can't, you know, it used to be, if we can't get it done through the legislative branch, we'll kick it to the judicial, right, to get it done there. And now it's like, if we can't get the election outcomes we want, we'll just make sure that person can't run. There's no good ending to this.
Yeah, and I don't know how we get out of this as a country either. That's the other thing. Unless it's just kind of this mutually assured destruction where, well, if you do it, then we'll do it, and maybe they'll stop doing it. Or stop, you know, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, how do we get out of this as a country? And maybe the only way is that Trump is vindicated and he is just not guilty on all of these things, and maybe that's how you get out of this. But I don't know.
But 91, yeah, but it's just at a certain point at 91, I'm like, gosh, you know, what are something sticks? Now let's talk about the, you know, the intra-party politics of this coming off of Iowa last weekend. I haven't seen the stats, but I'm sure the story will be out there that fundraising for Trump went through the roof on this from last night to now. I'm sure that poll numbers will go up for Trump there. But is there a point, if it's now, you know, 90, does this ever become a reason for any of the other RANs, like your person you represent personally, Governor DeSantis, to start getting some traction out there?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like, whether Trump's indicted or not, it doesn't seem like it matters. Trump just keeps that 25 to 30% of the base, maybe a little bit more. And no matter what, he keeps that. So in order for one of the other candidates to gain traction, they first got to overtake all the other candidates that are in the race. But Trump is just so good at sucking all the oxygen out of the room. I don't really know what can help. Maybe a win in Iowa, or maybe it gets extra close to New Hampshire and people are like, oh, wait a minute, Trump can actually be beaten. But other than that, I don't really know.
Okay, but then if it is one of the other ones, you know, that somehow it threads this needle and it is another one, can they win? Because you look at the polling and it's got Trump, and there's lots of polls and lots of time, y'all, so don't, you know, but it shows Trump, yeah. I mean, it's not like just because a poll came out last week said something that it means anything going forward to November 2024, but if you look at this and no one else can beat Biden, which is a sad statement, you probably have people coalesce around the one person that can beat him. I don't know. I with so many people and so many push and pulls for money out there right now in the Republican politics, I just don't know. I mean, yeah, I would make one play when it comes to fundraising. Hey, I'm the only one that can beat Biden. Give me money. We're going to win.
Well, that is the play. I mean, that is what DeSantis is trying to do. He feels like what you have to do is try to prove to people that Trump cannot beat Biden, and that's why you got to go to DeSantis. But doesn't seem like majority of Republican voters buy into that for some reason. And maybe it's because Biden is so terrible. I mean, that's Trump's best thing he's got going for him, is that Biden is so awful, that his approval ratings are so terrible, that, yeah, maybe Trump could beat Biden as well.
Do you feel on this that it is going to be Biden? You know, that's, of course, that's a big play, that everything happening with Hunter and all these different things are a way to slowly land the airplane that is President Biden, and somebody else steps in. But they probably got to get that machine working pretty quickly.
Well, problem is, who? If not Biden, then who? That's the thing. Gavin Newsom, I mean, is the party really excited about Gavin Newsom? Kamala Harris? I don't think the party's really excited about Kamala Harris. So that's the thing. It's like, if not Biden, then who? And that's what really puts them in a tough situation, I think. And that's what gives Biden the best chance of still being that nominee. But there's a chance that something happens where he decides not to run. It could be either the corruption, this whole scandal with his son, Hunter, or it could be his health. I mean, who knows?
All right. People would have, other than hearing your fantastic job you do, fill it in for be here on Midday Mobile, they want to catch your podcast, your writing, you're on WVNN in Huntsville. How do they get into the world of Michael Yaffe?
Yeah, you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Yaffe. You can like the Yaffe Facebook page. Check out the Yaffe program podcast, anywhere podcasts are available. Like and subscribe. And yeah, check out the stuff at yellowhammernews.com that I write all the time.
All right, thanks, Yaffe. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Grab your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Service. You got Yamaha engines, you got Mercury engines. I got the people for you. And that's Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. They do great service work on Yamahas. They got a Yamaha certified master tech on staff, uses just genuine Yamaha parts, Yamalube engine oils, fuel filters. They give you not only the confidence the engine's going to crank and run, they make sure it's running efficiently. Go look at the gas prices, right? You're filling up the big tank on the boat. Every couple more miles you get out into the Gulf for less gas means a lot better results when you go to fill up. I know, the sticker shock when you're back at the pump there. So make sure those engines are not only running correctly, tuned up, running efficiently out there. And if you do your own work, well, they got you. Because they sell Yamaha parts and accessories, same thing for Mercury. Kelsey is over parts there at Blue Water Yacht Sales, and she's a genius in this. If you call, like, with your engine model and serial number, and then say, well, I need an impeller, I need a this, that, she's got the part number. If they don't have it, for some reason, they get it within 72 hours, but most of the time, they have the part, and you can pull up right there, get the part you need to do your own work on your engine. So, yeah, check them out. Whether they're going to do the service work for you, you do your own. Go to the place that's been doing it for 50 years. Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, 476-2699, 476-2699. But if you just go online and look for bluewateryachtsales.net or Blue Water Yacht Sales, you'll get the phone number and get that service work done today. We'll mention this. So it says, this texture said, Sean's news today reminds me of the Dead Kennedys song, California Uber Alles. It's a great song to upset wannabe fascist, socialist, and communist, and good bass, drums, and guitars. Know the song, familiar with the song, and just to be a music nerd, there's another version of that done by Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy or something, hip-hop, or something like that. So if you go to YouTube and look for it, it's out there. Text her. It's pretty cool, too. Another version of California, Uber Alles. There it is. The Pritchard Water. Here we go. So after our conversation, which, by the way, that conversation I had with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch about the operation that the Sheriff's Department did, got called in by citizens of Pritchard to come in and enforce some laws, right? Because they weren't being enforced. And so the Sheriff's Department comes in. We've talked about the stats, the number of arrests they made just in a week's time there in Pritchard. And you had a lot of calls from y'all, a lot of texts to people that said, you know, they left Pritchard, their businesses left Pritchard because of these things. People who when that business leaves and those jobs leaves and there's less opportunity for people in Pritchard, therefore there's more crime, more businesses leave, less opportunity, cycles there. That's the one side. And of course, the other side of this, we've talked about a good bit, that's the public safety side. But then you also have Pritchard Water and Sewer Board. in the mix, too. And now this story coming out from my friend Andrea Ramey over at MyNBC15.com. Pritchard Water eyes eminent domain to address the leaks in Alabama Village. Now, this is a story that we started talking about a long time ago, what, probably 4 or 5 months ago? I know Dan has talked about it a good bit also on the morning show because his involvement with Light of the Village in that area. Here's a story. It said excessive water leaks due to aging infrastructure, most notably in Alabama Village, is causing Pritchard Water and Sewer Board to lose approximately $222,000 per month and nearly $2.7 million per year in lost revenue. That's how much leaked water. This is according to the Alabama Department of Environmental Management. The utility's attorney, Jay Ross, says 42 properties in Alabama Village account for 18% of the water loss system-wide. Goes on to say there's been discussion, a quote here, there's been discussion of shutting off service in their community. There's been some community meetings to talk about moving those that don't own that rent. And then there's been a lot of discussion about condemnation, condemn the property, disconnect the water, pay the owners of those properties that are connected to the fair market value of the property. End quote. That's from Jay Ross. Utility has already started that process, which is also called eminent domain. According to financial documents NBC 15 News reviewed, Pritchard Water and Sewer Board in May paid $38,000 for 38 appraisals in Alabama Village. Ross says he cannot release how much the property is appraised for due to the pending litigation. Synovus Bank filed a lawsuit against Pritchard Water and Sewer back in June for failing to make payments of $55.7 million of bond, and the bank is asking a judge to appoint a receiver to take over the daily operations, which we've asked that question before, too. Would it be ADEM steps in there? Ross went on to say, so until Pritchard Water resolves the Synovus issue, it is likely on hold. And I heard, you know, the mayor had talked about that before. You know, I forget what it was. It's been a while ago, but there's some press conference in Pritchard. The mayor stepped up and said, you know, maybe we buy out these houses. I don't know. People might have more experience than me. Could you, for $2.7 million a year, because that's been going on for a while here, could you run a whole new set of lines to those houses? You know, if it's the water lines and not the sewer, I'm not sure which part is the infrastructure's worse in. Could you do that? And if not, do you just cut your losses and spend the money to buy people out there? But it's not their own choosing, though. Remember, it's eminent domain. And it's an interesting thing. So eminent domain has been, you said, kids are in school now. It's been bastardized over the years. I mean, some of the key cases that have driven me crazy over the decades have been when eminent domain has been used because a municipality wanted property that they were going to put a shopping center on or something like that that would bring in more tax revenue. That's not my understanding of eminent domain. You don't take somebody's property forcefully, even though you pay for them, you tell them you're taking it, unless it has a national security interest or a public safety interest. Possibly, you make this argument on this Pritchard Water different than, what was the big case? It was like up in New Jersey or something where they took people's homes to put a shopping mall in and said their excuse was that, well, it would make the city more revenue. Who cares? It's their private property. But in this case, is it a public safety issue that they can use eminent domain on? And if somebody says no, they're not going to sell out. It's interesting where this goes and where goes the future of Pritchard as a municipality. I mean, we're talking about a couple things here. We're talking about public safety, right? Policing, law enforcement. And then we turn around and we start talking right again about water. I mean, those are two things you should be able to feel confident in, right, that you would have. And I know people are calling in right now, and they'll get you cleared, and we'll get you on the air here in a second. But you should have, I mean, you should ask, if you live in a municipality, a county, government, the idea of being safe, right, public safety, fire department, police department, those kind of things, and water. It doesn't seem like it's too much of a stretch. But yeah, they're saying that it's the cheaper option would be just to buy these people out, condemn the property, use eminent domain to kick them out of their homes, and do it that way. I might get something on the text line here. I have not been able to look at it. Anybody who's in that world, for $2.7 million, could y'all replumb 38 houses? Texture says, Sean, that's what they did to poor people when they built Big Creek Lake. They treated people terrible and forced them off their land. I tell you what, I'll Google this during the break. The when eminent domain's been used for shopping malls, that's one. That's one that'll get your blood pressure up too. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on the Tuesday. I guess Tuesday. Also, a couple texts from our conversation with Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt last hour about that Dolphin Island Causeway restoration project and where you could look at it and see the graphics on it. We've got them here, so you can probably go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Also, go to you can go straight to the website for Mobile County. That's where we have them from there as well. Shows a overhead photo and then projected lines for those breakwaters. Pretty cool. You can see what they're going to do there on it and check it out. If not, I can maybe even forward an email to you directly. Just send me an email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. All right, go to the phones. He's been waiting patiently. I don't know if he's been patient or not, but it's our friend Fireball. Hey, Fireball.
I'm too old not to be patient, Sean.
How you doing?
I'm too, just like my paycheck.
There we
How
go. I'm the same. The same for me, man. The same for me.
Sean, we both know that the Fish Water and Sewer Board has been crooked for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if they'd have had their service go out and fix the leaks when they was leaking, then the Fish resident wouldn't be having this trouble.
Yeah, so, but guess who takes it in the end? The residents, especially Alabama Village.
And, you know, at one time, that was a nice place to live at one time.
Well, you know, dealing with Pritchard Water, so, you know, I lived in Chickasaw for years on Myrtlewood Avenue in Chickasaw. And I remember, you know, and this is my, when I moved home from, graduated from the University of Alabama, came home to Mobile. I think I lasted about 6 weeks in Mom and Dad's house before they said, go get your own house. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Did that. And so I would talk, I would complain at the dinner table with them. I'd go eat dinner and complain about my water bill, this and that. And they said, well, you got, something's wrong with your water. And Dad was like, yeah, you know, it's leaking somewhere. I said, Dad, it's not leaking. I'm looking at the meter and this and that. He said, there's no way it's that much for water in Chickasaw. And, you know, they lived in Mobile. They had Maws. And even back then, and I would have been in my, you know, this was 1990s, my bill was so much higher than Mom and Dad's, and they had a lot more faucets than I did. So, I mean, this has been going on with overcharging people for what they get for a long time.
Well, as fisheries went downhill, I can remember, because I'm 70 years old, I can remember going to fisheries and buying my school clothes back in the day. But like I said, it went downhill ever since. And it's just, I really think that Mobile ought to, what do you call it, take over fishing.
Well, that conversation that comes up, and then Fireball, when you watch the look on people's faces, not all of them, but when I brought this up before, and I have officials say, kind of go, woo, easy there. You know, they're like, oh my gosh, that's going to, you know, that's going to drain whatever bucket of money it is for the city. You know, it's going to be public safety. Right. It's going to be water. It's going to be this or that.
One more question. The people on the Pritchard Water Board, did they ever get prosecuted for?
No, the case is not
all the money.
No, they've been indicted, but the case has not gone to trial yet. But I think you know what? I'll check with my buddy Dale Leach from Lanyap. He'll probably have a timeline on when that happens, and we'll let you know. And there's going to be more coming here. Fireball, I appreciate your call, and yeah, there'll be more coming. Once again, it's our cycle. Something happens, a decision's made, everybody lawyers up, and it gets put in a quagmire, and I'm sure it will be with this push for eminent domain. Speaking of which, from the text line, this text, oh, C.B. Carl, hey, C.B. Carl, said, no, Sean, you use eminent domain to take people's land to build a bridge that'll probably never get built. Listen, there's two examples of that, too. You know, for the, well, I do think they're going to finally get something going on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge projects, but there was eminent domain used there, and of course, I'm sure C.B. Carl's talking about the John Cooper Bridge across the ICW in South Baldwin. You know, and I was mentioning that going in the news. I got a thing. I got a thing that sticks in my craw. Eminent domain is one of those things that sticks in my craw. I do get the proper application. There are some cases, it is not without exceptions, where you can say, okay, the government's using eminent domain to complete some public project, state or federal level. I would often say that those need to be the very few. Like, it has to be like the last resort. But it has, in a lot of places, not been the last resort. And I was thinking about the case, and so I looked it up during the break and found several others. But the one I was thinking, I said New Jersey, it was not. It was back in 2005, it was in Connecticut. 2005, U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the city of New London, Connecticut, could seize private property for larger private development projects that would theoretically create jobs and increase tax revenue. I remembered that off the top of my head. That was their argument. It seemed like something, I can't believe, you know, when SCOTUS did that. Yeah, it was 05. It said Suzette Kello and other property owners had sued New London for taking their land, but the court decision emphasized that the Constitution made no mention of, quote, literal public use, end quote, as a requirement for seizing private property. According to the court, the Constitution allows for much broader interpretation of, quote, public purpose, end quote, in this case, the promise of economic growth in a community. Then you want to find something to get back in front of the Supreme Court. And obviously you'd have to have another case and have people that have standing to bring it. But there's a, maybe it's Alabama Village. To me, that is one of those decisions I look at to come out of the Supreme Court, and they're, say they're following the Constitution. But my gosh. Because that was the one that was, to me, most egregious. That's probably why it stuck with me all these decades later. That they wanted to have a mall. And the mall was going to bring in more tax revenue to the city of New London, Connecticut, than whatever, you know, John and Jane citizens' houses would. Who cares? It's their private land. But in 2005, Supreme Court ruled the city of New London, Connecticut could seize private property for larger private development projects, not even public development projects. This isn't like some kind of military base or something like this. It was for a mall. In looking at that, I found a couple others that are particularly egregious as well. It said, in the early 2000s, a real estate company in Hearst, Texas, expanded its private mall to over 127 homes. So you got the homes next to the mall. The mall's already there. The city used eminent domain to remove the homeowners, but a handful of them resisted the offers and filed lawsuits. The judge overruled their claims and forced them off their land. So the mall's next to you. You might like live in there because you're close to the mall or whatever. But it's your land. You pay your taxes. It's your land. But because the mall wanted to expand, to hell with the private property owner. Also, it came in the pipeline world as well. In 2019, so not too far long ago, the Iowa Supreme Court allowed the Iowa Utilities Board to condemn privately owned farmland and displace families in order to construct the Dakota Access Pipeline. The court did, however, reject the 2005 Supreme Court decision because of the trickle-down effects of economic development weren't enough to justify New London's use of eminent domain. The court argued that the pipeline, in contrast, served the public in a clearer and more impactful way than private office buildings in the New London case. So this is a thing, and there's stacks more. I mean, if you go eminent domain abuse or whatever, search a term like that, you'll see a lot of these cases out there. But it's, I don't know that many people will fight this, I don't think. If anybody will fight it for Alabama Village, I don't know. I don't know that to be a fact. So sit back and see. But they're saying that they're going to offer people money, but obviously that's the carrot, right? Hey, we'll come pay you this for your house. But the stick is, if you don't, we're going to make you take that anyway. Eminent domain, so this texture says, Eminent domain got people that new 13-mile handy-dandy cut-through from 158 to 98. I have family that lost their farmland and their homestead due to it. It's not fair for the government to be able to do that. You're talking about Mobile County's Autobahn there from 45 to, well, it goes the whole way through to 98. I know most people turn off at Schillinger, go south there. But I have not ridden it further past the Schillinger southward turn there. But so there's a use of eminent domain there. I will argue, though, if you had to like lump groups of eminent domain cases in, the first one I charge on is when a private company is going to receive benefit. Secondarily, like the argument in New London, Connecticut was, yeah, but they're going to sell more, you know, whatever, candles and sweaters or whatever they're going to sell. So the municipality will get more tax revenue. That to me is like the most egregious. When they use it for what you could argue is a public safety or public works, it's infrastructure of roads. I'm following you, Texture, what you're saying, but that to me, that's another argument to be made. Maybe not as slam dunk to me as I think eminent domain being used to benefit one group of private citizens over another. Alabama Al says, or maybe it's AI. Is it Alabama Al or Alabama AI? I'm not sure. It says, what about the Mobile Airport investment deal when they called him? When they called him in the domain? Okay, maybe this is text talk to text. When they called in eminent domain to move people out of their homes, and actually probably in probability close to the church. Well, that seems pretty. Y'all, do me a favor here. Rewrite that to me. It's interesting, but I can't. I'm having trouble following the talk to text. Oh, people saying Smith Lake for eminent domain. Listen, you go to TVA projects, right, in our neck of the woods, and even like Table Rock Lake and Bull Shoals Lake and all that up in Arkansas and Missouri. A lot of people lost their riverbank farms to that. This texter says, I think the eminent domain case in Connecticut had to do with Pfizer buying land for research facilities. Well, there you go. Pfizer at play. So there you go. It's we could do other shows. I mean, we used to talk about eminent domain a lot. It wasn't until I saw this story from Andrea Ramey over at NBC 15 that got me thinking again about eminent domain. They say they may use that in the Alabama Village situation. We can't provide you water and do the thing that we're supposed to do as a utility, so we're going to buy you out or force you out off your land. Okay. Be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Hey, Dalton, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it during the next news break. I could not get it in time. And Dalton over there in their office, not far from the main studio here at FM Talk 106.5, and they're really hoping to hear a repeat of the ghost hunting event going on at Fort Morgan. Some of my takeaways from that, I hear Dan recreating the sound of the ghouls in the background of that public service announcement from our own Charlie Moss. Those are good, but really I'm stuck on a couple things. That they will have ghost hunting equipment for you if you don't have your own, but. If you do have your own ghost hunting equipment, you feel free to bring it with you to that event coming up, which is good. And they're filming some ghost hunter show, which is a whole other thing. Those shows, it's the ghost hunter, it's the Bigfoot hunter show. How could you have a show that you never actually accomplish the goal of the show, but year after year, everybody tunes it? It's brilliant. It's brilliant. They should never pay it off. On this week's show, we'll find the ghost. Well, they didn't. But they came closer, they didn't. Maybe next week they will. All right. How I would transition from ghost hunting gear to electric bicycles, maybe even beyond me. So just tell you, this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, where now, 7 months ago, 8 months ago? 8 months ago, I moved into the world of e-bikes, which got me back into riding bicycles. Well, it had been decades since I had ridden a bicycle. Now I'm back in, and I look forward to it. So e-bike, electric bike, he has 50 in stock at any given time. 7 different manufacturers, and the nice thing is he's got them ready for test drives. And that's what sold me. He kind of will ask you, you know, what do you want to do with the bike? Mine was more off-road. You may be more on-road, whatever it is. He'll find some of the bikes that would suit you, and then you get a test ride on them and see what all the fuss is about. So check out the e-bikes, 50 in stock at any time, 7 different manufacturers. And if you're there and you're not in the e-bike world, it's okay. 400 of the non-e-bikes in stock at any time, too, at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Mountain bikes, comfort and hybrid bikes, road and triathlon bikes, beach cruisers, BMX. They also do repairs on all bikes and e-bikes out there. But yeah, see what has gotten me back into riding bicycles. Truly, get excited about going for a bicycle ride, and that is an e-bike. And you can check out more of the inventory online at adventure-earth.com, adventure-earth.com. Go see them in person. That's the most fun when you can take the test ride. They're there at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of across from Ruth's Chris. Or check them out by giving them a phone call and saying, hey, what can you do for me? 478-1000. It's Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. And now we're... okay, good. Thank you. Alabama Allen. Okay, good. Talking about the Mobile Airport deal. Homes in at least one church claimed to build an additional runway at Bates Field that never happened. Now we're looking at moving operations to Brooklyn. You know, and that big footprint for what Farmers Airport out there, the West Mobile Airport, there's a whole bunch of land that was there for expansion that they're now not going to use, obviously, with going to Brooklyn. I guess they're using possibly eminent domain to go across I-10 there for the Brooklyn Airport. And then the land, the way I understand, I have heard, and the discussions have happened, that out at the West Mobile Airport, at the Farmers Airport, that possibly the land would be sold eventually that's not developed. I'm sure there has to be some sort of, you know, setback along the runways out there, but there's a whole bunch of other land that would be to the west side of those runways that may have been received through eminent domain that could end up being sold by the airport authority. But no concrete's dry on that yet, but we'll see. Yeah, the eminent domain thing, let's say it gets under my skin. I will say there are times when I could say, okay, I get it. You got to do that. But this whole, and to know that the Supreme Court in a couple of occasions has not held up what I think a lot of people feel should be the law when it comes to eminent domain. And Supreme Court probably doing what they're supposed to do because there wasn't a specific discussion constitutionally of that. So they said, well, you know, you've got a situation here that, the public use can be interpreted a bunch of different ways, but it makes me bonkers. If the public use is for municipalities, cities, whatever, to seize land because another entity, another private entity, wants to go in there and do a development that means more tax receipts to the city, I just don't feel that's the spirit. I don't wear the black robe. I don't sit on the Supreme Court. I'm just a hayseed out there. But it really just, that's something we should, I don't know, maybe the case from Alabama Village becomes the next touchstone on this. Oh, and do you see Wall Street Journal story about homeless in the United States? Maybe you get homeless because of eminent domain. Maybe it's something else. WSJ reporting the U.S. has seen a record increase in homeless people this year as the COVID-19 pandemic fades. This is according to Wall Street Journal review of data from around the country. The data so far this year are up roughly 11% from 2022, a sharp jump that would represent by far the biggest recorded increase since government started tracking comparable numbers in 2007. The next highest increase was 2.7% in 2019. Wow. So second highest increase, 2.7%, 2022, 11% increase in homeless. Said 2019, excluding the artificially high increase last year caused by the pandemic, counting interruptions, this year's surge reflects a host of pressures around the U.S., such as rising housing costs, lack of affordable rental units, and the nation's continuing opioid crisis, according to reports from nonprofits and government agencies counting the homeless. That's shocking, 11% increase year to year. Said the journal reviewed available data from more than 300 entities that count homeless people in areas ranging from cities to entire states. Those entities accounted for 8 of every 9 homeless people counted last year. The journal's tally thus far includes, boy, here's what it means in real Americans, 577,000 homeless people. And it once again, includes more than 577,000 homeless people. They're outstanding entities known as continuums of care, declined to provide their numbers, didn't respond to requests, and couldn't be reached. Something to look into. Are they talking about that in Washington? No, we're not. Just wanted to put, yeah, heck of a story. I'll pop this up on the, yes, I know it's X, but I'm going to call it the Twitter feed because it's easier for me. So I'll put it up there at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. You can read that story. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. We'll see y'all tomorrow. And remember, you can check out the podcast of this show or 55 other hours a week of live local programming coming from right here at Airport and 65, these studios, by going to our app, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Just hit the podcast tab or fmtalk1065.com. Hit the podcast tab or wherever you subscribe for podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed to get them from FM Talk 106.5. All right, Feinbaum next.